Okay, let's gather around. Let's get this tailgate meeting going.
People know him as the son of Oakland, and he has a unique plan to turn the city around.
What we're supposed to do is when we go out there, if somebody's dumping after the city leaves, we clean it up like it never existed.
Small things. If you can go there and start with the small things instead of trying to do these huge wins, you'll be able to cure and heal the city.
Ken Houston is the third generation Oaklander and the director of Beautification Council.
We work directly behind Oakland Public Works, and it's called HEMS, Homeless Encampment Micro Cleaning and Sanitization.
We only hire justice impacted and unhoused individuals.
How you figured out to hire the homeless and the justice impacted?
They come to me. We clean it up and they would come to us. Hey man, I wanna work. I say, okay, come on, sign your name here.
All these lives would not be out here making living wages, dignity, respect, responsibility with living wage. That makes change.
It's been the best thing that's happened to me since I wanted to be an example for my kids. I could pay doctor bills. I could pay for medicine. I could do all that kinds of stuff. I could help my mom out.
I'm able to get back with my family and help them out, pay their bills. This work is real fun.
I think I'm a better person now, I think. And I got a place to stay now. My self-respect, I feel good about myself now because I think I am impacting the city.
I'm C.Y. Karami. Welcome to California Insider. Ken, it's great to have you on. Welcome.
Let me say this to you. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to be here amongst you guys.
We are very excited to have you. We saw the project you're working on. And before we get started, can you tell us what's happening with Oakland?
Oakland has many challenges because I've seen its city change so dramatically where I used to can go play out in the streets. My 14-year-old daughter can now walk to the store in her own home. That's how dangerous it is in Oakland. Just before I left to come to this interview, around the corner on 102nd, two people were murdered. And our seniors are like prisoners in their own home. And like I said, my daughter, 14-year, cannot go outside and play like I did when I was a kid. We used to play football. We played frisbee. We went to each other's house. My daughter's a prisoner in her own home. I don't have to live there. I live there by choice. Because if I leave the city I love, I know I won't come back to help it. When we created this 501c3, I saw lives changed. Some people say found. I met this man when I lived on the streets for a month willingly to find out what was this homeless situation. How did it get this bad? I met this gentleman living in a garbage can, sleeping on the railroad tracks. His name is Chino. His whole life has changed by the opportunity what the city of Oakland did with the homeless encampment micro cleaning and sanitization project. Gave these people another life, a chance to learn transferable skills, hard and soft skills. We hire the unhirable, right? And it's not that difficult. All you have to do is give people a chance, give them respect, dignity, and responsibility. Don't get that one mixed up. That's probably one of the hugest things is responsibility, because many organizations take the homeless individuals and give them everything they want without responsibility. They have to have responsibility, like a child. You know, if a child doesn't clean up their room, they don't have no response, they won't get their allowance, right? If they want something, you have to give something back. So the challenges and the people that we've helped, I've seen gunners, people come to our organization that want a chance and say, I know what you guys are doing. Can you help me? I've never had a job before. I'm a criminal. They say it. I never had a job. And I ask them, I said, what block can you not go to in Oakland because of the violence?
They
hand me over their gun.
Wow.
I put it up because they really want to change. Some don't want to change, but the ones that want to change, remember we just said right before, you said, don't judge a book by its cover? Don't judge it. I've judged many books by their cover, and I've made many mistakes. So this program called the Beautification Council that hired 100% justice impacted and unhoused. We build lives and beautify communities. So Oakland, people think that we just clean up the streets. They say, oh, Ken, I can get a truck. Oh, I can go clean up that street. They don't really know what we do. We use the element in the streets. The deterioration, the illegal dumping, the graffiti vandalism, the used needles on the street, to teach them how to pick the needles up properly, use PPE. Those are transferable skills. PPE, personal protection equipment, right? Knowing how to micro clean and sanitize properly. They can move into Oakland Public Works. They can go to a janitorial service. They can do, I can tell you a story about a gentleman named Lewis. Went in prison for a homicide at 17 years old.
Wow.
Did 40 years in the penitentiary. I got a phone call said from a friend. Said, Ken, my friend is coming out of the penitentiary. Can you give him a chance? I said, is it on your name? That means that you're going to be responsible.
You're responsible for it.
That's what I do. Is it on your name? And he, oops. Yes, on my name. I said, okay, send him. When he got out of prison, he came to me hardcore every day. On time, though, every day. I broke him. We kept talking. He started to transform into somebody that I never thought he would. He started being more open. He started learning. He said, I don't ever want to go back to prison again. We trained him under our process. Right now, he runs a janitorial service with a company in San Francisco doing 10 floors. Wow. And it only took him 240 days with us. What? How did that happen? I'm not a magician, right? I'm not. It's just that I was built for these moments.
Can you tell us how you figured out to hire the homeless and the justice impacted?
That's a good one. We were doing $20,000 contracts with the city and the county with the DA's office. COVID hit.
And you were cleaning up, right?
You were just cleaning up the streets. Right? But here we go. I was doing the same thing I'm doing now, but at a smaller scale. I was using the streets, the dirtiness, the deterioration to train people. That's justice impacted, and I was doing it then.
You were doing
but
it.
But real small, right?
Like a few? Like how many people was it? Like?
Five, three, right?
Just and were they people you knew, or how did you find them?
I'm out there cleaning up with a small contract, me and Chino and one other person, and they come up to me and go, hey, I want to help. How much you pay? I was paying $17.56 back then. And I said, okay, come and help me. But I only can use one of you guys, right? So we were doing what we're doing now, but not at the magnitude. COVID hit. When COVID hit and the pathogens on the streets with the illegal dumping and the COVID, and the city came to us, it was called the CARES Act, right? Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, we need to stop this COVID. We need you to get out there. Can you give me a proposal on what you can do? And I told them that I can use a biodegradable solution that I've researched that will kill the pathogens in COVID, right? So they said, okay. So they gave me a contract and they said, hire unhoused and justice impacted. That was in my scope of work. So I couldn't do anything. Okay. I couldn't come and hire you.
Yeah.
I had to hire the just. So I was like, wow, I got to hire the. Okay, all right. So I went out. I hired over 98 people on the streets. It was like a ghost town. It was just us, Oakland Public Works, the fire department and the police. They would pull us over and say, what you doing out? Because they had shelter in place. And I said, we're essential workers. And I showed them. It was like, okay, all right. So I would be on the street with all the justice impacted and on the house, right? And
how would you find the justice impacted with you?
They come to me. We cleaning up and they would come to us. Hey, man, I want to work. I say, okay, come on, sign your name here. I give them a card. Let me see your ID. I don't have ID. What do you have? I got an EBT card. I take a picture of that. I wrote them in, logged in, their birth date and all that. They would come to, we didn't even look for anyone. They came to us constantly coming because we were paying money, showing dignity, respect, and it was getting some money, right? So what that did was that stopped the crime in COVID. You know, When we were hiring those individuals, they were coming to us.
They were not due to commit crime. They would get paid.
Because you're making money, right? Yeah. So after COVID ended, we got another contract. Man, you guys did such a good job. But my contract, guess what was missing? It didn't have, I had to hire Justice Impacted or the unhoused population. That was gone.
So you could hire anybody.
Right. So I was like, why would I hire anybody when this worked? It worked, right? So what they say, if it's broke, don't fix it.
If it's,
it really worked, right?
If it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah, there you go, there you go, right there. If it's not broken, don't fix it. So it wasn't broken. I said, okay. So I started hiring, and I got a call from my project manager. She said, Ken, you know, she wasn't saying it in a negative way because she's great. Her name is Victoria Chack. She said, Ken, you know you don't have to hire the Justice Impacted and the unhoused. You know that, right? I said, but it worked. She said, okay, you do what you want to do, but you know you're not stuck to that same contract. So I continued to do it, and it's working. And when individuals come to me, and after 120 days, that's our systems, and they go to another job and make more money than they made with me and never had a job before, that's a powerful thing. When you see people getting relationships back with their sons and daughters and their families that they stole from, that is powerful. I mean, I was like, whoa, I made more money in construction. I was less happy. I'm a community advocate. I'm a director of the 501c3. I don't make the same money, but I'm happier because I can see, I can drive down the street and I'll see a person that I hired and I see them with their backpack or their hard hat and they walk into FedEx. I don't even honk at them. I don't say nothing. I just look at them and go like, wow, man, that's true change, man. I heard when you can influence and change a life, one life, you change generational lives. So I know that one impact that I did to that one person, I changed their lives for their
whole family, their future, their kids.
And it's not that difficult. All you have to do is give a person a chance and don't judge them by their cover. Give them dignity, responsibility, respect, and some living wages. We pay $23.53 an hour. No other nonprofit pays that. Not saying we're better. That could be going into my reserve money. But I want it to go into that person, to that instead of my reserve. Reserve as a nonprofit is like profit, right? But it keeps your business going. But I give them the $23.53. I give them the $25. I give them the $28 an hour with no experience. And I tell them, I say, listen, the mistakes you make with me, you don't make them out in the real world. So you can make all the mistakes. If it says your name right here, this is our DPR's daily project reports. I get them to do hard and soft skills. If you put your name down here, you didn't do it wrong. You can make no mistakes with me. None. I'll show you and share with you and teach you how to do it the right way. So when you leave here, you have the experience, right? So the lives that we've changed with these programs, anybody can do it.
So you're even having people that are unhoused right now, homeless,
yes,
right?
Sir.
And then you have people that are justice impacted.
Yes, sir.
How does it work?
What's the barrier? We have a system in place. You have to start from this point. This is very, very critical. Very critical. You meet them where they are. Let me say it again.
In terms of their mindset?
Everything. Needle hanging out your arm. Most people will send them home. I embrace them. And you know what I say to them? And did you see me hesitate when you said, what's the system? The top one is you don't judge them. We said that. And you meet them where they are. If you meet them where they are.
So it doesn't matter their situation.
It doesn't matter.
But you have a process for each person.
Let me say this. This one guy was on fentanyl. And he was nodding. You know how they nod? And I said, he wanted to work. Most people would have just ignored him. I said, okay. I took some markers. They got this marker spray paint that you put on the ground. I sprayed the ground. I sprayed it like a 5x5 section. I gave them a broom, picker-upper, and I said, clean up that area. He nodding. Don't
he's,
come
he's
out.
On fentanyl.
Like he's on fentanyl. He's nodding, right? And I say, you don't come out. I want this area clean, man. Clean this area. And he picked up probably two pieces but nodded. But he never went outside that line. I gave him his money. He came back the next day. He wasn't as high, right? I meet them where they are. So if anyone wants to start a program like we have, and this is a process, I'd have to share with you the systems. But the top priority is meet them where they are. And after 120 days, I say, now it's time for you to meet me where I'm at. So this was very powerful. One day I went into the office, right? And her name is Nellie. I opened it. She was there 120 days. And she was crying. And I was like, Nellie, what's wrong? You know, I thought it was a boyfriend problem. And she was like, Ken.
So she had already been with you for
120 days. And she was crying. She does the paperwork.
Was she unhoused, homeless, or was she like?
100%. Everybody. Unhoused. She was a robber.
So she came out of prison or jail.
Jail. Yeah. Something. Yeah. She was both. And she was doing her paperwork because she's good at paperwork. And she was crying and I was like, Nellie, what's wrong? She said, Ken, I gotta meet you where you are, and I'm gonna meet you where you are. And I was like, whoa. And she did. She met me. She said, I got my license back. I got my car insurance. She showed me everything. That's huge change. So you asked a critical question. So for your listeners, if you don't have my system, meet them where they are. Don't send them home. Don't discredit them. Oh, he was drunk, or he was high, he was on drugs, or look at that needle. I met a guy, his name passed away from fentanyl, but he, they call him Swole, Ijma. Ijma came to me with a needle hanging out his arm on Kirkham when I was doing the CARES Act. Got him, brought him back. He was doing excellent, met him where he was at. And something happened, he moved away. And then he went to jail again. I lost contact with him. And when he came back, he didn't come to see me. And they found him on a bus stop, OD'd from fentanyl. I lost a lot of people from that fentanyl and from just not able to shake the drug problem. I lost many people that I got to know very well. Dylan, I mean, I could name them over and over. That's really hard on me. That's one of the reasons why, if I ever wanted to just leave this organization as the director and not do it any longer and pass it on, my excuse would be the people, because you get to know them. You know, you interact with them every day. Okay, let's gather around. Let's get this tailgate meeting going. I'm gonna call a couple of you guys out because how good you go. So we gotta have our PPE. Where's my mask at? Who gonna write me up? I'm about to get written up, man. Thank you, see there? What we do is we have a process. And everybody should know this, right? We know this, we've been doing this. It's called micro cleaning. And it's a straight process to actually clean the streets. Like, and you'll be able to see it. You see that? What we're supposed to do is when we go out there, if somebody's dumping after the city leaves, we clean it up like it never existed. And that's where we shine at. So what I want to do is I want to go out and show them where we at now on East 12th so they can see how beautiful you guys bag, tag, and stack it. Okay? All right, let's roll. Let's go. This is not just something that you just come out and do just because, you know, somebody calls us. No, this is scheduled, this is organized with Oakland Public Works. We are proactive or reactive. And these ladies and gentlemen, look at how they're using the hammer. It's called micro cleaning. They're getting just the little bitty things. They get it where it looks like nothing ever happened before. And then over here, what we do at the end, we bag, tag, and stack it. And we also, we tie our bags a certain way. I hope everybody tying it the right way. I hope we tying it the right way. We got a special tie, special knot, special knot. We work directly behind Caltrans.
called CCMA, Clean California Maintenance Agreement. And I said this once, and let me say this, this is probably the most important piece to this. If it wasn't for Gavin Newsom giving us the on-ramps and off-ramp sites that impacts these justice impacted and these unhoused, they would be out here living on the street and committing crimes. And if it wasn't because of Justin Johnson with the city of Oakland embracing the homeless encampment, micro-cleaning, sanitization, all these lives would not be out here making living wages, dignity, respect, responsibility with living wage. That makes change.
How did you figure out to meet them where they are? What was the process like? Because this is a very interesting, I don't know a lot of people are probably doing that, right? When was the moment you figure out that?
I knew that because people met me where I was. One of the moments again. One of the moments. If people would have gave up on me and hold on. Let me game up and didn't meet me where I was, I wouldn't be here today. Yep. Gave me a chance. Because you gotta meet people where they are, because you don't know their condition. You don't know their circumstance.
How they end up
you don't know why they where they at.
Yeah.
You don't know if they were abused. You don't know their relationship. You don't know me. Fatherless boy, sucked up by the streets. I should have been dead or in prison if people didn't meet me where I was at. It was like, dude, they met me where I was at. So that was easy for me to meet them where they are, because I was always met where I was at, right? It's good. Embrace me. So it was easy for me. So that's why I said I was built for this. I was built for this as a kid, fatherless child, family, not looking like my community, and was able to survive through that and move through all the circles, move through all the worlds, and building relationships, streets to the suite, and able to move through the corporate world, right? So it's pretty easy for me to meet somebody where they are when people have always met me where I was at, right? I wouldn't be here today. So that part, I was like, yo, I'm gonna meet him where he's at. But I'm gonna tell you, you gotta meet me where I'm at in 120 days. So that right there is so powerful. Those two things.
How did you learn that? That you need to, in 120 days, get people to meet you where you are?
That COVID, that CARES Act. I was so, I'm gonna say this live too, I don't care. They paid me to learn in COVID. In the purple tier. I had nobody on the street. I could make all the mistakes I wanted to make. Nobody was gonna trip over my brooms. Nobody, when I sprayed my peroxide, it foamed up as big as me. I was like, dang, we better cut that down and put some water in this, right? If that would have did that in the middle of regular,
there,
the fire department would have came. I would have been in so much trouble, right? So I learned everything in the middle of COVID, the do's, the don'ts, the cans, the cannots. So I'm a project manager by trade, right? I'm a contractor by trade, project manager. So I document everything. And that's why our program is so powerful also, because we do data collection. That's why the governor's office, that's why the county, because we have efficacy to our program. We have data. Data is everything, you know that. So if you have all the data, how many needles, how many people, their ages. So I'm a documenter, right? So when I was doing, I said, we better cut that down to 50%. So I documented everything, and we able to work that into our systems. So 120 days was like, man, they start falling off at 120 days. How do we improve that? How do we make them stay?
They would get out of the program.
No, they would start.
They would just go down, right? Their behavior, right? The way they would work.
Okay. Yeah, because, okay, women like to be took care of. Men are caretakers. That's just the way it is. Women guys have to have a goal. Men always have to have a goal that they're reaching, right? So I was like, whoa, how do I fix that? So after 120 days, I went from 1756 to 2356, whatever the numbers was, right?
So you give them a raise.
Yes. Then it.
But then their goal would
then
be.
Then it started all back over because they weren't stuck no more. They reached their plateau. When I gave them that raise, it's like, whoa, started all over again. And then sometimes when they reach that plateau, I say, oh, it's time for you to go somewhere else because you can see that their growth stopped and it won't be able to work with me no more. And they learned everything. Go to UPS. My boy Chino, the one I met on the ground, his son came to work for us right out of high school. He didn't have a relationship with his son or daughter, built it back, worked with us for maybe 9-10 months, left us, made more money, went to FedEx, became a supervisor. Now we just came out, flew out to LA 2 weeks ago. He just was, he just joined the Marines.
Wow.
That he would have never did if he didn't come under this program. So that 120 days, trial and error.
It's you start teaching to see. Discipline.
Yeah, I learned.
A lot of things.
Like I
yeah.
said, I said, they should have yeah. paid, I should have paid them for all that experience I learned in the middle of COVID. So now we have a program that works. We made all our mistakes, and now it's a set system that everybody appreciates and understands. It's called micro cleaning and sanitization. Everything falls up underneath that.
And you have people that are unhoused, and they come to your, they come work with you, right?
Yes.
They're actually living in tents.
Live in tent streets or RVs. And that's one of the main problems. Oh, that's a huge problem. Because if you're living in a tent and you want to come to work for me, how do you keep your things safe? Just really put your mindset there. Put your mind here.
Your ID, your
I want to come to work, but everything that I own
is here in the street. And if I leave it, somebody will take it.
Right.
And there's a lot of crime in the homeless encampments because the people take, right? Is that?
It is. So let me share this with you. One lady that wanted to come to work that was so good, I had to pay somebody to watch her stuff so she could come to work. Wow. You see? So if you don't see those things, why didn't he come? You know, not talk down, find out the problem.
That's meeting them where they're at, right?
Yeah,
it's kind of like there's
Her name was Tammy. She was, I said, Tammy, why you didn't come? She said, Ken, I didn't want to leave my stuff. You know, so I said, let me pay this guy that's here to watch your stuff. Do you trust him? Yes. She would come to work every day because I paid somebody to watch this stuff. So housing, people say housing, housing. It's not housing. It's shelter. Shelter, what I mean by, what I like what the city of Oakland has done, San Jose is doing it, Gavin Newsom has done it, safe parking. Safe parking lots. If you have an RV, you can go to a parking lot and they have security around there so you can leave. They have parking stall. They have shower in. They have shower. They have electric. They have everything for you within that safe parking. But you have to have an RV to be able to move into there. That's huge. Before housing, if you got shelter, you can work yourself out of that, right? Because now you can leave your items.
And then you can go to work, you can earn income.
And you're making money. You don't have to pay electric, water. Then you can save, but that's another issue, saving. So I taught them how to do proactive, like wherever they, when they got a check, take $100 out of your check, get you a money order, and then send it to the IRS. Some people got their money, got money back. I mean, think about this. You're teaching them transferable life skills to become a normal citizen.
At the same time, they're providing value for the community with the services that they're doing, right?
And safety value. You're cleaning the streets that are in severe conditions. Massive amounts of trash that cause what? Fires. And then you bring in a safety piece to it. The individuals aren't committing crimes any longer. So if, like I said, remember I started, I said, start off with the small things. Don't try to get these big wins. You know, stop the people from doing this. Embrace, don't displace. Here's another thing, Prologis. Now I do private. I got private. I don't only have governmental.
So people want you to come and clean their in front of their businesses or streets, or is it?
So here we go. Remember you see saying, see, clean?
Yeah.
Embrace. See, I build lives. They'll say the same thing you just said. Hey, can you come and get rid of it? No, I'm not getting rid of anything. I'm going to build the people's lives around it. Let's talk about it. You got four RVs. I hire these individuals to come and work with me. They make some money. I build a relationship and I say, okay, listen, now that you're working, can we move your RVs to a safe parking lot? Because what? Because now you're causing a blight issue to this company. People don't want to visit this company. They're losing money. Do you understand that? Yes, I do. Let's move your RVs to the safe parking. They're moved. So I have private companies having me to do the same thing I do for government.
So you're coming to these homeless encampments and actually recruiting the individuals in these encampments.
Yes.
To help clean up that community.
Yes. And they'll stop people from dumping. They'll stop people from doing crime. And because now they feel more important. They're embraced.
They feel responsible for that.
Yes. So you're bringing pride to the community.
For these individuals, what's the challenge they're facing?
Mental pride, drug abuse, alcohol, SUD, substance abuse is huge. When I stayed out in a homeless encampment for 30 days, because I couldn't understand what was happening, and I'm older, so I had to touch it. You cannot live in that condition without using some type of substance. I did not use a substance because I had a way out. I was visiting. And I knew I could leave at any time. They can't. But I put my mindset in, if I couldn't leave, you cannot live in those conditions without using some type of substance. Everything out there, if you're homeless, everything is available. Sex, drugs, you can get anything out there. But the issues that we have to deal with out there is SUD, drug, alcohol, mental illness, not educated. I had a guy to come to me. I give him it's an intake form. You give him an intake form. They write down all the things that you want to know about him. And it's personal. I put it in a file, personal. He was the only person at the table that didn't fill out his intake form. I saw it. That's why you got to be involved. So I took it from him real quick. I said, oh, hold on, I'm going to take this. This is the wrong one. Matter of fact, let me get another one and I'm going to help you. We're going to fill it out together. I already knew he couldn't read. The director has to be directly involved.
To make things happen. And that's, so there seems to be, so from what you're saying, does it feel hopeless when you're in this homeless encampment?
Oh, yeah.
The
hopelessness is massive. It's like no way out. They think everyone is against them. That's why when they go to close down an encampment, they have to take police force or some type of security. They move from one place to another. They feel like they're being pushed out, not understood. Some of them can't be helped. Some are serious criminals. Some have some serious mental conditions that I can't help. I'll call a company sometimes when I see that condition, like I did over the weekend at Lake Merritt. I called a company and had them to go out to assess the person because he was so mentally disturbed. It was beyond my expertise.
What percentage is fixable through your program? Because what you're doing is very unique. You're actually giving people hope.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give them a path to get out of the situation they're in.
If I go to a homeless encampment, and I'm just going to do an average, and I'm thinking from my experience, and I go and I assess. So let's look at East 12th Street. If I go to East 12th Street and I analyze all those individuals there, and I was able to assess it and address it, I could help 2/3 of those people easy.
So 2/3 of the people have a chance to come and get back into the society.
Easy.
Based on your experience.
Easy. With the money, with like what Gavin did, Governor Newsom, with Clean California. That was massive. That, if you look at my scope of work, I was not supposed to displace the homeless off Caltrans. I was supposed to embrace them. And that's what I did. I embraced them, right? That changed lives. If you have the funding, put the funding in the right spot and give it to the right organizations. Not saying I'm the only one. I'm not saying that. But give it to an organization that has the data. Listen, it's called result-based accountability. If you can show your results fund them because they're showing you results. If they can't give you the data, defund them. Give it to someone that can, because you can make, our program is small. What, we got a million, 2 million. Like I said, it's nothing. People might think
compared to the other programs, they're giving a lot of money.
Give me 20 million. Give me $30 million. Watch the impact that we can make. And it's just not me. It's Maria. It's Heather. You know, it's Tania. It's Carol. It's all of them. It's Chino. It's Nelly. You know, it's Bertha. It's Hammer. It's everybody. I'm just, what did you call them?
Conductor.
I'm just the conductor, right? I know where the pieces should fall, and I know where they should play, and I know where they should come up. I know where they should go down, right? With all these people that you embrace, that you put the right people in the right places, you get it done. So I said, East 12th, I could, 2/3 of those people can be helped.
Everybody that's here now that you see working, there were once a homeless person on the street. It really changed me in a way where now I have a job, I work, and I'm able to buy things that I want. I'm able to get back with my family and help them out, pay their bills and stuff like that. After the day of work, this work is real fun. Everybody likes to come aboard and work for us. It's because they like the work.
It's been the best thing that's happened to me since I wanted to be an example for my kids. I have two daughters who are also, one is in federal prison right now. So this has given me the opportunity to be able to show them that, hey, look at me, mom can do it, so you guys can do it too. And it's been powerful for them to see me work every day and send them money and help them out. Because before I wasn't able to do that. Because when you got a job and you got money coming in, you can pay this and you can pay that, it makes a big difference in how you act, how you portray yourself, how people see you, and it makes one feel better. This man is a man that I don't even know how to describe him. His patience, he doesn't get angry, he gets disappointed, that's for sure. But the disappointment kind of helps, it helps me be a better person because I don't want to disappoint my boss. I want to be a good employee, you know?
Because I think I am impacting the city. Past before, I used to litter, I drove in the cars, ate my candy, threw it out the windows. But now, I see myself now, I'm picking stuff up. I'm picking it up, I'm holding it, dropping it in trash, and I'm telling people about littering as well. I think I'm a better person now, I think. I got a place to stay now, paying rent, paying all my taxes. They can turn their life around, they can do it. Look at me, it's not that hard.
I feel like I came a long way, you know? Showing up on time, coming to work every day, giving it my all, 100%. He always tell me, don't get comfortable. And so, you know, it made me want to go and strive for more, you know what I mean? Like a better job, you know? I'm gonna be working with the fire, on the fire line. I'm gonna have my own place, you know? I'm gonna be saving a good amount of money. I'll be cool, you know? I'll be stable, for sure. I'm saying for show and stuff. I don't sound professional.
These were people that were homeless and just as impacted that are running a $1 million nonprofit. It's not me. I'm the conductor, right? I put them in place. And we did it. We did it. It can happen. Change can happen. We hire the unhireable and we... It's not called workforce development, it's called job readiness. Hear me out. This is workforce development. We're a level under. We gotta get them job ready before they even go to workforce development. Pull up your pants, be on time, bring your lunch, bring your water, wear your PPE. This is what you do, this is what you don't do. You get them job ready. Then they go to workforce development. But most people start off at workforce development.
It's too far.
It's too far. Some of these people never had a job before. You know how many people live in the underground economy? Oh, the underground economy is huge. And then without education. If you can't read, you're scared to tell someone you can't read, you're forced into the underground economy. There's thousands of people forced into the underground economy.
So is it doing illegal work or is it like?
Everything, illegal. The underground economy is stealing drugs, prostitution, sex trafficking, all that. I mean, all that. That's all underground economy. And those people have no skill set to pull themselves out of it. So when they go to prison, have you ever heard this before? And he went to prison, he came back out and did the same thing. Why? Come with a solution.
They don't have another way.
They don't have any skills.
They don't know what to do.
No transferable skills. So this, remember I said I was built this way? I was built like this? I was built by being nourished by the movement, growing up in the area that I grew up in, look the way I look where I can move through the circles, and was trained as a project manager. See, I was a project manager by trade, building skyscrapers, T2 Terminal, San Francisco, Fox Theater, MGM, project manager. So I know how to project manage. I know what people are looking for a project manager. I told some of my people one time, I said, listen, this guy did not like me at the job, but I knew how to do the paperwork. I know how to do the DPRs. I know how to do the ordering. I was the last one to go. He didn't like me, but I made his job easy. So everybody, when the job ended, you know, they finished, they started to do all the touch up, the punch list and everything. Who was the only person there? The project manager and me. Why? Because I made his job easy. He did not like me, but he kept me. So I told them, like I said, I work with people I don't like. We don't get along, but we get things accomplished. And I teach those things. Because
how to do that, right? How to.
I teach, and I trigger these youngsters. Woo, these youngsters, woo, they dangerous. No daddies, no responsibility. Ooh, their anger, I don't know where it comes from, right? Scary anger. And I trigger them. Before I speak to them, you know what I say to everybody in my group? I say, do I have the permission to speak to you? Listen to this again. Do I have permission to speak to you? And I'm their supervisor. They go, yes. And some people say, no, Ken, I don't want to hear it today. I say, okay, can you step out? Yes. So I give them respect. So now they're open to hearing me. So I told this couple of youngsters, I say, hey, man, do I have permission to speak to you? Ken, his name is Ken, too. He said, yeah. Because you know what that means? Because I'm going to come with respect. I'm not going to cuss or say nothing bad, but it's going to be real. I said, listen, I'm going to trigger you. I'm going to say some stuff to you. Just going to try to trigger that anger that you got, because that's going to get you killed or get you fired. Because if you got a household, you have to take care of your child, your daughter, your wife, and you get that attitude and trigger, and he can trigger you, you're going to lose your job. How are you going to pay your rent? How are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to get your baby new shoes? And I trigger him, too. I trigger him. I'll be like, man, why are you doing it like that? Nothing disrespectful. Man, why are you talking to me like that? I'll be saying, you fired. You would have been fired. Do not let me direct your fate. Control your own emotions. It's a lot to this. It's not just giving them a job. It's training them things that they should.
How to keep the job, right? That's,
and how to stay alive in the streets, too. Somebody pull in front of you and you get mad. He got a gun. You got a gun. You hear this in Oakland all the time. Don't let that person direct your fate. Control your own life. We teach all those things as a, what you call them?
Conductor.
A conductor, as a conductor, right. So it's not just we teach them how to train, clean up the streets. We build lives, and then the community benefits from us building lives by beautifying the community.
Then there's a lot of systems and discipline, essentially.
Discipline. And let me tell you, I got this process called microcleaning. It's a special broom. And it looks like a street sweeper went through, but you did it yourself, right? And if I see somebody that's on edge, it came in the morning, I'll have them to go feed the animals in the yard, calm them down a little bit, and give them that microcleaning broom. And it takes them a long time, and they're able to think. They're able to think, you know, patience. Have you heard patience is a virtue? To do microcleaning the way we do it, you have to have a lot of patience.
kind of therapy from what you're saying.
It is. It is. And then it's a therapy for the community. The community comes out and says, thank you. You know, thank you. That guy right there was one of the guys that was still in the cars. Now he's working with you. Thank you. Right. They come out and it gives pride back to the community. Once you start cleaning up, embracing the lives, what, building lives, beautifying communities, you'll see the community come out cleaning up their area. Because in some areas, it's hopelessness. Think about this.
All because of all the trash and the graffiti trash, and all that, right?
The graffiti vandalism, the violence, the crime, the stolen cars. You lose hope. You bring back, we bring back hope to the communities. You'll see it. When a person comes out and starts cutting their grass after we doing it, that's bringing back some hope, right? But if a person sees it and comes out and says this, that's going to be like that tomorrow. You guys are wasting your time. What is that?
No hope. Yeah.
That's no hope. That's sad. Because let me share this with you. It's hard on me. I'm glad you invited me out here. Because now I came out here, I drove by the beaches and stuff like that. I got a fresh start when I go back, right? Because sometimes
you're going to make sure Oakland looks like this.
Yeah, right? That's right. That's right. That's right. But sometimes you get used to it. You get accustomed. It becomes normal.
You mentioned that sometimes you get the people that are working for you to feed the animals. You have some animals. Can you tell us?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So let me share this with you. As a kid, growing up in East Oakland, one of the reasons why I'm alive today is because my father, stepdad, bought me and my mom bought me some pigeons, right, from a place called Birds of All Kind. And she said, and had a dog, and said, she said, boy, if you don't come and clean up after these birds, and take care of these birds, I'm getting rid of them. Ooh, and I was like scared. I was, oh no, please don't get rid of them, mom, please. So I would come home and clean them up. And my friends would go out stealing cars, breaking windows. And I'd be like, man, I gotta go home, man. I gotta go take care of my birds and my dog, man. My mom's gonna get rid of them. I would come home, clean up responsibility, right? Wow. Other people got in trouble, went to juvenile, got arrested. If I wouldn't have had those animals of having that responsibility, I would not be, I would not be sitting here with you today. So I use that piece at the same time. I have pigeons, I have chickens, I have a pony, right? I had goats, somebody stole the goats. I'll tell you about that later. I have, and I use it as therapy. Yeah, you can see it. You know, he had a fight with his girlfriend. She put him lady to sleep in the car. I'm telling you real stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody took the money off of his card, that the payment card. Lost $500. Mad, right? You can see it in the morning. I go, hey, Josh, go feed the birds, man. I need some help. Oh, okay. All right. Chino, go feed the pony real quick for me, man. You know, because these animals need you. They depend on you to live. They depend. They love you when you come to feed them and give them water, right? They need you, so they feel needed. Think about this. You know, something needs them. Feed the pony. He's eating. You pet him. Feed the chickens. They're running all around you. You feed the, let the birds out, and they come back and they eat. You feel good. And that it's and this nature is intertwining with nature, like kids. So we'll come here in the morning, we'll take care of the chickens, we'll feed the chickens, right, with the food. We got little chickens here, and then we release the doves every morning. Every morning we have 100. He said, yes, we do. So we have 167 white, pure white doves of peace. Pure white doves of peace that we release every single morning. What we deal with out in these streets is rough. It's rough. The conditions are rough. The unhealthy, the danger, right? It's rough. So we come here every morning, and this is what I'll do. This is what I'll do in the morning, right here. I'll go like this every morning. So if you want to get this, you better get it. Every morning, every single morning.
every single morning. So we start our day off with peace, with peace. And it worked. I was like, whoa, some never touched the egg. Some of them said, hey, man, is this going to hatch? You know, I mean, it's, and it's funny, right? And some never touched a little chick. They go, hey, man, is it going to peck me? Come on, man, you a big 250-pound dude, and you worrying if a little bitty chick going to peck you. That kind of stuff, right? And it, oh, man, I never knew. Oh, here's a good one. When the chick is hatching after 21 days, they'll say, look, kid, how long does it take for the, I say, 21 days, let's put it on the calendar. Put it on the calendar, right? Then the 20, and I see it pecking out. I say, hey, come over and look at it. They say, oh, you should see these big old burly dudes, tattoos and
guys.
Tough guys, like, oh, man, oh, put it in their hand. They turn it, it's really, and you bring them down. So you have to use all the things, all your experiences. That's why I said I was built for this. Everything that I'm using or utilizing to change lives changed my life. So it's easy for me because I know the repercussions from it, and I know the outcomes, and I know how it made me feel. So I'm able to pull from that and go like, whoa, I can make him feel that good fuzzy feeling, right? And it works. So we use the animals as a healing process too. And that was from back to bases with the kids, then COVID shut down. So then I used it with our stipend workers. We called them stipend workers, but now they're independent contractors. So it works amazingly. Now, does other programs have that? No, they don't. And it's not that we're better than them. It's just that
they don't know.
No, that's a part of me.
Yeah, they don't know. They haven't had the experience.
And it's a part of my lifestyle. You know, it's part of me. It's who I am. I just brought what is me and shared it with them, right? So it just became a part of it. And it's been successful. All those pieces work.
So Ken, what if people in LA or other parts of the state want to do this?
I'll train them. I got the systems in place. Like I said, it's complicated if I tried to explain it, but if I show you on paper, it's very simple. It's like if you bake a cake, right? You have to put the right amount of yeast, you have to put the right amount of flour, but if you take something out, it ain't gonna turn out right, right? So you have to follow the system. I spent a lot of money on creating these systems, and they work just like a recipe. So if they wanted to learn it, we'll go out, we'll train them for a fee or be a partner in it. They can go and get the contract and we'll be a partner, right? And do the same thing and they can learn it. And once they learn it, they can go on and leave. And they can keep it going. There's more and it's too much for us. It's too much work for us. We're the really only game in town right now.
Do you recommend the nonprofit leaders that might be watching this, what do you recommend them to do? Do you recommend them to go and look at the homeless encampments or get more involved, hands-on? What are your thoughts?
What I would believe that the nonprofit should do is the directors. This is the reason why they got a nonprofit. Their heart.
They care about
their
this.
Their heart was in it, right? Hire good people and get out their way. If you're a director, hire good people, put them in the skill set, in the position that they thrive, that they love, that they're passionate about. There's people that are taking positions because of the money. I would advise directors to direct and touch it a little bit more. You know, it might be scary. It might be uncomfortable because if I wasn't built the way I was, it would be very uncomfortable. I can pull myself out. It would be very, very uncomfortable. And it'd be easier for me to touch it at a distance. So I would advise them to touch it, to feel it, and put the right people, your managers, your field operators, in the positions that they're passionate about. Would they do it for half the pay? I did this for 5 years, no money, zero. I put it back into the company or I didn't get paid at all because the community that I grew up in does not deserve. They're hostages in their own community.
by the violence, by the drugs, by the cars burned up, by encampments in front of their homes and businesses. They're hostage. I'm not something special. I'm not. I was built for this moment and this time, and I'm doing what I feel that I would want someone to do for me if they had the skill set that I had. That's why I should have left Oakland a long time ago. I could leave. My friends are in San Diego, Bonita. They'd be like, Ken, why are you still out there, man? Come out here with the jet skis with us. And I go, no, I feel obligated to my city. I feel obligated to stand up. I feel obligated to my community. Even though it's not the same Oakland, I feel that Oakland can change. Alameda County can change. We can be better if we come together as a group and we don't fight amongst each other. There's so much pettiness. You know, that's I did this, you did that. Just come together, right? And as a unit, which is hard, because I work with people that I don't like. But it's the mission. What's the outcome? I work with people right now in other organizations that I do not get along with. But do we come out with results? Yes, we do. And I work with them. So put all that to the side. That's what I would advise them.
Ken Houston, son of Oakland and the director at Beautification Council. It was great to have you on California Insider.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I really do. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come here.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
It's great to talk to you.